So last week, Liddell says, oh, I want to do a stock report, right? And I, okay, and we never got to it. We had it on the schedule and never got to it. So this week, I brought it back. I said, I want to do a stock report, right? Because that's what you wanted to do last week. And now Liddell is going to be tasked with doing a stock report that he's already done on TV. But maybe some of you missed it. So we're going to bring it back on the radio and say, here's the youngest in charge's stock report. Whose stock up, my friend?
Whose stock is up?
Yeah. Whose stock is up?
Whose stock
is up?
That's the
power. That's the all-important question.
After,
besides Jaden Daniels,
after a massive Monday night upset, a lot of people's stock is up.
Mm.
I would have to start with the franchise left tackle.
Okay.
Brandon Coleman.
But he's not the franchise left tackle.
Oh,
yet.
He's the franchise left tackle.
He's heading in the right direction.
He's the franchise left tackle.
He's heading in the right direction.
Played his most snaps of the season.
Yep.
Monday night.
Couple of really nasty
finishes.
He was doing some flapjack
cooking
out there.
Couple of nice holes created in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job reach blocking.
Yep. What did I tell you on the night of the draft? I had a TCU offensive coach just say he's nasty. He's nasty. Nasty in a good way. And that you saw it play out. Now, he did give up the one sack to Trey Hendrickson, right? That's going to happen. But he mauled Trey Hendrickson at the point of attack.
To the point where I would love, I think he made Trey Hendrickson a little bit tentative. Excuse me, passive. Tentative.
Tentative is fine.
Made him passive.
Mm-hmm.
When it, He made him passive based on the aggressive finishes. Based on,
are you having issues over there? Are you okay?
Based on the vice grip that he has for hands.
Mm-hmm.
I scrolled across my Twitter timeline, and there's a
What do I tell you all the time?
Not to scroll through Twitter. People are tweeting at us, and we read their tweets during the show. Stock up for Brandon Coleman. I would say stock up for Austin Ekeler.
Uh-huh.
What he's done in the first 2 weeks. I actually
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
2.5 games. Kinda.
I'm really worried about.
I'm concerned, worried is strong. But I thought this offseason, I sat right here on this very program and said I was worried that Austin Ekeler would eat into Brian Robinson's snaps and take away from Brian Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Ekeler probably is the better of the two backs.
He's been the more dynamic of the two.
I'd say he's
is what I would say. Brian Robinson had 130 whatever rushing yards it was against the Giants.
I'm gonna call a spade a spade. I would say he's the better of the two backs at this point in time. And I'm trying to find the number because it is absolutely mind-boggling. Through 3 games, 22 touches, 204 yards, 9 yards per touch. That was in a half. And a half against Cincy, he went for 60 total yards and a touchdown. And that's not even accounting for – he's the most dynamic kick returner in
the NFL. Well, he had a 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown and a 62-yarder to start the second half.
Yeah, so, like, he's been amazing.
We slept on Austin Ekeler as a kick returner.
You know, I did.
In the preseason.
I think we did. That's fair to say. And I do have those numbers, by the way, on Jaden Daniels in the middle of the field, too.
Yes, please do that when we're – done with stock up. Obviously, Jaden.
His stock is up.
Brandon Coleman, Austin Ekeler. Is there somebody that we're not thinking of?
Yes, there
stock
is.
Up.
There's. I'm going to go out and say Benjamin St. Juice. I thought Benjamin St. Juice for the second consecutive week was brilliant. Playing through the whistle, taking away the T. Higgins touchdown. Did a really nice job. He gave up a touchdown, yes, to Jamar Chase.
I thought if the T. Higgins one back of the end zone, I thought if that was a better throw by Joe Burrow, that or if T. kind of went up maybe a little too high and lost his body balance a little bit, but St. Juice was there.
Yeah, I think St. Juice has been awesome. I thought Johnny Newton was the most impactful interior defensive lineman on Monday night.
I don't disagree with you on that.
The hustle, running downfield, chasing down screens.
Talked about it yesterday with Doc.
Double teams.
There was a couple of times where he just closed about 10, 12 yards of space. You know,
like that.
Like a
fast.
Snap of the finger. He's fat. And
he's
backside
legit
hustle is always going to get you more snaps and more work and more reps. And look, he hasn't done anything that jumps out to the casual fan just yet. But
he's beaten. He beat a double team.
Right, if he can stay healthy, it's coming. Right. And one thing we talked about last week, and I know we've talked about before and throughout the offseason, is Daron Payne was lined up at defensive end zone. Now PFF charts all the specific detailed positions. They've had him lined up as a left defensive end a lot this year. I'm not sure how they're grading that. Like they had him. And I don't know if it's because sometimes they'll line up in a wide split or a wide nine or what have you. I don't know. All I know is, like, there is a way to get Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Johnny Newton, now that he's ramping up his work, there are ways to get them all on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are different things you can do.
I don't know if I think what you need to do is implement a 5-man front, not put Daron Payne a defensive end. He was terrible at the end on Monday night.
That's what I'm saying. You can do a 5-man front.
Getting out of his, he doesn't have enough pop getting out of his stance. He maybe needs to stand up if he's going to be a defensive end. He probably needs to play with his hands.
Okay, that's fine.
Out of the dirt. But Johnny Newton, someone I think is stock up. Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I keep saying Jean. It's Jean.
Jean.
Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I thought was awesome. I heard you highlight yesterday the move that I told you about on the phone the night prior.
Well, I don't see every play live because I'm taking notes or I'm tweeting or whatever. So when I went back and I watched it on a cut up. The fact that he had like I don't know what that's called. Is that called a Euro step? Is that called a cross step? Whatever it is. But he just like, he jumps out of his stance and he cuts inside. And with a little bit of a swim move to the right guard, he just blows it up and zeroes in on Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow's got some athleticism and he's got some ability. He wasn't holding the ball for 7 seconds or anything like that. Yeah. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, whatever the hell is, I just call him JJB. I mean, he just blew him up.
To be able to change direction at that size that quickly is frightening. Yeah. He may be... I think by season's end, he's your best edge rusher. He's got that type of talent.
I'm going to give stock up just real quickly before we move to stock down to two interior guys. Nick Allegretti, who we talked about, mentioned.
Yes.
Obviously, the seal on the Austin Ekeler touchdown is what everybody saw. Also, I would say this, the recovery of the fumble. Again, this team has come close to turning the ball over, and fumbling has been an issue. They have fumbled several passes, several balls, four, I think, if not mistaken, through three games. And they've recovered them all. But Allegretti has seemingly, for now, solidified an area that was certainly a concern or a question mark throughout the offseason, right? I mean, they went and signed him, and everybody said, well, that's great. He's never been a starter before. I said, except for the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, in which he played pretty darn well in both of those games.
And to add to it, he was dog crap during camp. He was not good during. I was the only one out there. I was the only one. Do you see why I sometimes dismiss
that training camp doesn't good or bad always equate to what you're going to get in the regular season?
For sure.
And why it's a little bit overrated, quite honestly. I'm sorry. That's just the reality. Some guys are like, I'll say this. I watched Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy their entire time here, right? At so many training camp, they were the worst. They were terrible. And yet Kirk would come out and play in a game and he'd look like a completely different quarterback. Now, he was still a young guy at that point.
Fair.
But, again, I've seen guys be awesome in camp and do diddly poo as soon as the lights really turned on. Either way, I want to get. And Tyler Biadasz.
Biadasz has got the third. He's via ESPN's run block win rate. He's got the third best win rate amongst all interior offensive linemen.
And that's pass blocking, right?
It's run blocking.
Oh, it's run blocking. Okay. Yeah, they're if you see on the Brian Robinson touchdown on that first scoring drive.
Yeah.
Now, the first play they kind of got blown up on. Second play, they would have gotten blown up on, but Cincinnati had a helmet in the neutral zone that didn't have anything to do with the play, and Biadasz got kind of pushed back a little bit. The third one to Robinson, the one they actually scored on, he quickly advances and thrusts through the hole to the second level and creates – not a Lincoln-sized tunnel, but, I mean, he creates enough of a hole that Brian Robinson walks right in.
His nickname is warranted, badass. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they really upgraded the interior of their offensive line, and I think it's making a huge difference in the run game. So I just gave you the number. He's third in the NFL amongst interior offensive linemen in pass block.
I'm also going to give stock up to a guy that you've been very, very, very critical on.
I gave Jeremy him stock Chin. Up last night. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Jeremy Chin was really good the other night. I mean, in pass coverage, remember that third down pass breakup along the sideline? I think with Percy Butler, very physical. The missed field goal drive, talked about this on Twitter or maybe on the show yesterday. Jeremy Chin had a big solid tackle on first down, the pass breakup on third down leading to the missed field goal. I thought Jeremy Chin, everything that you had correctly pointed out in weeks one and two, where he was seemingly avoiding contact or olaying, mm-hmm. I thought he was a completely different mentality, a completely different approach.
He was.
On Monday night.
He was. And the trend hopefully continues this week, because I've got a guy that I will call out tomorrow, and hopefully he takes the advice of his teammates. I called out Bobby Wagner after week one. He was awesome in week two.
He was.
I called out Jeremy Chin week two. He was awesome in week three. John Allen and Deron Payne. You two highly paid pass rushing savants.
This is stocked down and then some.
This is stocked. They were horrible. God awful on Monday night. Go back and watch. They were god awful.
I mean, there's a play that I highlighted. Chad Ryan had the cut up of it, and I just added to it because I saw it when I was watching back the game. Deron Payne blows up the backup running back.
Chase Brown. And the play ends up going for a first down. It should have been a loss of five.
Well, he's in his arms. He's in his hands. He's bear hugging him. And he spins out of it, and he runs for 12 yards.
And Deron Payne does not pursue and hustle and chase after him. He stands and watches. Mm. That's the type of stuff, to me, that I don't have patience for. Him and John, they're so worried about doing their cool-ass handshake during pregame. John Allen,
you hate Jonathan Allen pregame.
I can't stand it.
I mean, for a year and a half now, you have been so anti-Jonathan.
Matt's doing the hand clap bit.
Yeah, but you've been so anti-Jonathan Allen for everything he does pregame. I mean,
I don't think they're
during the game.
Man.
Listen, he's just like I would say this. Like, I see Jonathan Allen hustling for the most part.
He's not
the
very
last
fast.
Year, calendar year. Basically, since midway through last year, maybe even before that, the last year, I'll just say, let's call it from like week three, week four on last year until now, it's just been a lot of fluff, if you can even say that.
They're average.
Yeah.
But they're paid.
Yeah. I mean, you're
like they're the best in the world.
Did you hear Jay Gruden yesterday?
I didn't listen to
Okay,
the
well, he said, I know those guys. He drafted them. He goes, yeah, they're not making enough plays. Which is not, you know, like, not saying...
Troy Aikman called him out during the broadcast several times. Joe Witt called him out.
This fan base, the media group around here gets a lot of crap, right? A lot of us were wondering, questioning Terry McLaurin, talking about Terry McLaurin, impact this, that, what's the reason? Is he a number one? Blah, 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 blah. And Terry McLaurin comes out and the fans just want to bury us and say...
Oh, you all are so stupid for talking
about
Terry.
You know who hasn't been wrong at all? Period. I've been saying this, you know, again, since early last year. You've been very hard on John Allen. Not as hard on Deron Payne. Like, the media group ain't wrong about these two guys.
No, they're not. They're not
the media group ain't
enough
wrong.
Plays. Yeah. Point blank, period. And the more disheartening thing about it is when Johnny Newton comes in, you can see the difference. Phil Mathis, I thought, had some really good snaps on Monday night.
Yeah.
But this is my thing with John and Deron. The success of this defense is solely dependent upon those two being game wreckers, and they're not. So now you all want to blame coaches.
Is it solely dependent, or is it dependent?
I would say it's solely dependent. I think that is what when you talk to them this summer and they were putting their fancy slogans on T-shirts and on billboards and on the wall and at Wawa, Dunkin', Chipotle. If you would have asked them why they felt this way.
It's funny when you make fun of people for slogans.
I'm the slogan king. But seriously, though, they're not, like, as you said, they're not making enough plays. And I think their thought process coming in here is that, hey, defensively, we can do a lot because we've got something that we have lacked during our time in Dallas. Two badasses on the interior. Mm-hmm. And by the way, whoever drafted Mozzie Smith, he was god-awful.
Well, Dan Quinn had to have something to do with that.
But they picked the wrong guy. He's been terrible.